Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Gittin Daf Pei Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out a marked daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 8 lines from the top of Daf Pei Gimel. As you can see, by just looking at the daf, you immediately note a rather long Tanaic source, the framed section, and as your eye skims down, you'll pick up a number of diamonds. We glance at the side of the Gemara where we have our Nosei / Mivneh heading, the Nosei being the topic heading, Mivneh the structural note. These diamonds represent, and we've written, Shitos HaChokim al Reb Elozer de Mishnosenu, opinions, Tanaic opinions, that disagree with Reb Elozer that we saw in our Mishnah. HaGemara LeKamon Tetzateit V'Tosif Hezber al Kol Bova. When we finish the source, the Gemara will then quote from the source. Each section will be featured, and an explanation will then follow. Before going into the Gemara text, it's important to note the Mishnah from the beginning of the Perek Daf Pei Beis Amud Aleph, which said, "Hamegarish is ishto v'yomar lo hareat muteris l'chol odom elo l'ploni." One who divorces his wife and he says to her, "You're Muteris, now you're allowed to marry anybody." Elo leploni, and the Gemara established that the word elo meant chutz miploni. You're allowed to marry anyone except for so and so. Reb Elozer matir v'chachom amosrim. The opinion of Reb Elozer is such that it's a kosher get. It's acceptable, even though there was something left out, and we had seen sources for that in our previous shiur, that if from Psukim, that is, that even if a person's divorce is not complete, Reb Elozer sees in those Psukim the basis for saying that it's a kosher divorce. So in this source, as we mentioned, we're going to see opinions that disagree with Reb Elozer. And why do they disagree? So that will be forthcoming. The Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Li'achar P'tirosus Reb Elozer, after the death of Reb Elozer, Nichnasu Arba Zikanim Lahoshiv Al Dvarav, 4 sages gathered together to respond, to refute him. He, Reb Elozer, was matir the woman, even though there was this, we saw this withholding element in the get. Who are the 4 that disagree? Reb Yossi Haglili, Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Elozer ben Azariah, the Rabbi Akiva. Nene, Rabbi Tarfon, the Omar. It's interesting to note that even though Rabbi Tarfon was cited as the number 2 in the list, he is the first name to be featured. And then after that, you see Rabbi Yossi Haglili, who was in fact the first one. And then in the 3rd position, as he appeared in the list, is Rabbi Elozer ben Azariah, followed by finally Rabbi Akiva. So we continue. Nene, Rabbi Tarfon, the Omar. Hare Shaholcha Zu Veniseis La'ochiv Shel Ze Shenez Rolov. So imagine, the woman that was divorced, as was featured in the Mishnah, and she went and married the brother of the one to whom she was made forbidden. Remember, the husband said, you are allowed to marry anyone except for Mr. X. And what did she do? She married Mr. Y. That's X's brother. Umeis Blobonim. And then Mr. Y, whom she had married, died leaving no children. When a man dies leaving no children but leaves a surviving brother, the mitzvah of Yibum is expected to be fulfilled. In this case, can she do Yibum? Can she marry Mr. X? No. And why not? Because the get that she was given precluded that marriage. It stated you can marry anyone except for Mr. X. So now that Mr. Y, his brother, died leaving no children, Lo nimtza ze oiker davar min haTorah? Do you not find that you have the uprooting of something that the Torah said? The Torah said there's mitzvah yibum, and through this get, you have the undoing of that mitzvah. And that cannot be. This shows us shein ze krisus, that such a get that could lead to the uprooting of a Torah mitzvah is not a legitimate divorce. As Rashi says, across from here, shein ze krisus, ha'amura b'Torah. This is not krisus that the Torah condones. Shelo omra Torah krisus. The Torah doesn't say divorce. Krisus is based on the pasuk v'kosav lo sefer krisus. That's the writing of the document of separation, the get. Sefer krisus, koris, means to be cut off, separated from. So this is not a fulfillment of krisus of the Torah. Ha'okir davar min haTorah. How could you have a get that would be, that would result in the uprooting of something in the Torah? Therefore, this cannot be a legitimate get. Nene Rabbi Yossi Aglili v'yomar. Rabbi Yossi Aglili expresses now his opinion, his dissenting opinion from that of Rabbi Lozar v'yomar, and he says, Heichon motzinu, where do you find precedent, osur lozeh umutur lozeh, that she could be prohibited as a result, in this case we'll talk about the divorce, as a result of the divorce, that she'll be osur to this one and mutter to that one. Osur lakol, v'amutur mutter lakol. When someone is prohibited, they're prohibited to everybody. A married woman is not allowed to be with any other man, and when she is free, when she's muteris, she has to be mutter to anyone. Ha lamadato, so we learn from this, she'ein ze krisus, that having a get that doesn't result in a heter lakol, that doesn't result in permission to everybody, to anybody, that is not a legitimate divorce. Nene Rabbi Lozer ben Azariah v'yomar, krisus dovar hakoreis beino leveino. Rabbi Lozer ben Azariah focusing on the word of the Torah, saying something that separates them, something that separates them, and halamadata, we learn from that, that shein ze krisus, a case where the get doesn't represent a total separation. Because with regard to the man to whom she was forbidden, that, we'll say that relationship actually maintains the original marriage that the woman had. As Rashi says, v'hikakuris b'ino l'v'ino v'harei akati agido b'le oser al oso ish. In a case where the get was given with this withholding element, namely she's prohibited to so-and-so, so with regard to that fellow, she's still considered married to her original husband. She's not, it's not a fulfillment of koreis, of separation, of split. Nene Rabbi Akiva v'yomar. Now notice we have a Roman numeral number 1. If you skim down a few lines later, you'll notice a Roman numeral number 2 where the lines get wide, and you'll see that's introduced with Dover Acher. So we have two approaches within Rabbi Akiva. So Nene Rabbi Akiva v'yomar harei shahochazu v'niseis le'echod min ashuk. Imagine the woman that received the get with the qualifier element to it. She went and married some outsider, someone from the public. The shuk means the market, but someone from the general public. And she had children with that fellow, Venis Armelo and his Garsha, and she became a widow, or she was divorced by that outsider. The Omda Venise Slazesh and Esra Alof. And then she went and married the very one that the original husband had prohibited her to marry. Lo Nimsa get Botel of Onel Mamzerim. Would that not result in the original divorce being nullified? And if the original divorce is nullified, that means she's still married. She was, we'll say, never divorced from the original husband. If she was never divorced from the original husband, how could she have married that fellow Minashuk and have children with him? Those children would be then the product of a woman married to someone else. They are therefore Mamzerim. So with a get like this, says Rabbi Akiva, you're creating fertile ground for the creation of Mamzerim. Holamadato, we learn from this, She'ain Zekrisis. This is not a divorce. In other words, the Torah would never have sanctioned a divorce that would result in disqualified children, meaning mamzerim. As everyone knows, a mamzer is excluded from being allowed to marry into the Jewish people, into the, we'll say, the rank and file Jewish people. So you can't imagine, says Rabbi Akiva, that the Torah would sanction a divorce that this could so easily result from. Dovar Acher, another approach. Harei Shehoya Zeh Shenesra Alav Koyin. Imagine the fellow that was prohibited to this woman in the divorce was a Kohen, Umeis Hamagarish, and the husband who had divorced her, he died. Now, this divorcee's, we'll say, relationship to that Kohen, was she considered divorced to the Kohen? No. She would be considered, vis-a-vis the Kohen, she would have been considered still married to her original husband. Upon the death of the husband, she then becomes an almona, a widow, vis-a-vis the Kohen. So the result is, lo nimseis almona etzlo, ugrusha etzel kol adam. Her identity vis-a-vis the Kohen would be one of an almona. She was never divorced with regard to the Kohen, but now she's an almona to the Kohen. As far as the rest of the population, she's a grusha, she is a divorcee vis-a-vis everyone else. The kal vachomer, now this sets up a situation where we can apply kal vachomer logic as follows. Uma grusha shikala. Her, let's say, grusha status. She has a grusha status, a divorce status. Let us point out before we go any further, a woman who is a grusha is forbidden to a Kohen. A woman who is an almona is permitted to a Kohen, unless he was a Kohen Gadol. Now the following kal vachomer. Uma grusha shi kala asura b'shvil tzad gerushin sheba, a divorcee, which is in the hierarchy of violations of sins, is considered a low level violation. It's a prohibition. It's a mere negative command. Does not carry with it kores or misas beisdin. So she has a grusha, we'll say, title to her by virtue of her relationship to all the rest of the population. So she has this grusha status, which is a low-level offense if she were to marry a Kohen. Asura b'shvil tzad gerushin sheba, she is prohibited to that Kohen because she has gerushin status vis-a-vis the rest of the population. So the rest of the population generates a grusha status vis-a-vis, with regard to that Kohen. What about her status that the Kohen generates before her husband died, vis-a-vis the rest of the population? Eishezi, she chamura lo kol shekein. She, vis-a-vis the Kohen, when her original husband was still alive, she wasn't divorced. When her husband was originally alive, she wasn't an almona either. So what was she? She was considered a married woman. So she had the title of a married woman that was generated by that Kohen to whom she had been forbidden. Well, then that Eishes Ish, married woman status, would reflect itself upon the rest of the population. She would not be allowed to marry anybody. So as we just said, when she was divorced, she gained a gerushin, a grusha status, by virtue of her relationship to the general population, and that reflected back on the Kohen. so that when she became an almona, she wouldn't be allowed to marry the kohen, even though a regular almona is allowed to marry the kohen. The status that she had vis-a-vis the kohen would then reflect itself likewise to the rest of the population. When the husband was still alive, she'd be considered still married, and she wouldn't be allowed to marry anybody. And the reason we're calling this Kal V'Chomer is because you see that a low-level prohibition can be reflected from the general population onto the Kohen. A high-level prohibition, namely Eishes Ish, certainly should be able to be reflected while the husband was still alive from the Kohen onto the rest of the population, and she would not be allowed to marry anybody. This shows you that it was never a divorce. That's not a divorce. Rabbi Yeshua, Ein Meshivin Esari Lachar Misa. Rabbi Yeshua, it sounds here that he's defending Rabbi Elazar. It almost gives the impression that he agrees with Rabbi Elazar. The Gemara will bring that into question later on. But he says, you don't respond to the lion. The lion is a reference to Rabbi Elazar, who is now deceased. You don't argue with him. You don't offer your responses after he's dead. If you want to disagree with him, so disagree with him face to face while he's alive. Give him a chance to respond. You're taking advantage of his, now that he's died, now you're offering your objections. Before we go further, let's just go over the second version of Rabbi Akiva in the Rashi. Rashi, a few lines up from here, says, Lo nimse salmona, etzel kohen zeh, dahole gabe, lo igrusha. We said that when the original husband died, vis-a-vis the kohen, she becomes an almona. She's not a grusha, she was never divorced from, with regard to him, but an almona, yes. Grusha, etzel kol adam, she had an element of gerushin because the husband had divorced her and allowed her to marry the rest of the public. So that divorcee status that she had manifests itself on that kohen, resulting in the kohen, now that her husband died, cannot marry her. Kidamon liel. Grusha Meisha, Rashi is paraphrasing, he's quoting the Pasuk, Levado, a woman divorced from her husband alone, Asura Lakuna. This is what we had seen in the, a previous year, that based on the Pasuk, a woman who is divorced from her husband alone, meaning a man divorced his wife, said, you're divorced and you're not allowed to marry anybody. A woman like that becomes also to the Kahuna, even though she's not really divorced in the sense that she can marry anybody else. So we see that once the label of divorcee descends upon the woman, it manifests itself in her being prohibited to the Kohen. The Kal V'Chomer, V'Arei Dvarim Kal V'Chomer, Sha'ato Lo Meid Heimenu. We can now apply Kal V'Chomer logic. Shelifnei Mises HaMegaresh Te Asura Lakol Mitnei Tzad Ishus Shebab. Before the death of the husband, even though he supposedly divorced her, before his death, did she not have an Eishes Ish status vis-a-vis that particular Kohen? So that Eishes Ish status would be manifest upon the general public as well. Rashi continues, Uma Iser Grusha Shukal. The prohibition of a divorcee is a light-level prohibition. The Les Ela Balav Bi'Alma. It carries with it only a negative prohibition, not anything more severe than that. Motsinu she'asura al kohen zeh she'almona etzlo. We find, nevertheless, that she's prohibited to that kohen as a grusha, even though she is an almona with regard to him directly. But neit tzad gerushin shabah, because of the tzad gerushin, the element of divorce that she has as far vis-a-vis the rest of the public. A married woman, which is a more severe offense, certainly will manifest itself with regard to all those to whom she was permitted. We continue in the Gemara. Omar Rava, Kulu Islu Pircha, Levar Midrablozer Ben Azariah Deles Le Pircha. We had four diamonds above. Three of the diamonds, three of the opinions above, can be refuted. Pircha is a refutation. They can be undone. They can be refuted, shown as being really no reasons to object to Rebbe Lozer, because the reasons stated are really faulty. They're lacking, with the exception of Rebbe Lozer ben Azariah. Tanya Nami Hachi, a brisa that supports what Rava just said. Omar Rav Yossi, Roa Ani as Divrei Rebbe Lozer ben Azariah Midivrei Kulan. Rav Yossi says, I find as a strong reason that of Rebbe Lozer ben Azariah over more so than all the rest. At this point, you can see we have a numbering system with a little house around the number. On the side of the Gemara, under our structural note, we indicate a house, numbers 1 through 3. They are tzitutim. These represent quotes. Meha Mokadileel, from the source we just read, that began with the expression La'achar Ptiroso. The double underline that you'll see throughout the upcoming lines represents Kushios Utamios. They're questions or statements of wonderment. The bow tie, Havlotas Maskonas Rava. We're highlighting Rava's conclusion to Lekulu Islu Pircha, that all of them have an undoing. If you just skim over the Gemara, since it's marked, since it's mapped out with the Gemara marking system, you can see that number one on that line of Gemara introduces Rabbi Tarfon, and Rabbi Tarfon says what he does, and following that we raise questions. The double underlining, you can see the questions are raised, and then it concludes with a bow tie where it says Hainu Pircha. You can see that we, after raising the questions, you see that it's Rabbi Tarfon's approach is problematic. That's what Rava meant when he said that Lekulu Islu Pircha, they all have an undoing. That's as far as Rabbi Tarfon. Then the Gemara asks, we'll say it's a detailed question, but in trying to understand Rabbi Tarfon, how did he understand Rabbi Lozer's original comment? And a form of questioning is introduced in each case with a triangle. And you can see on the side, we've indicated this, and we've written birur, and an investigation, a clarification. B'may muki plutayu d'rozer v'chachomim. How did Rabbi Tarfon and each one of the subsequent opinions set up the machlokis v'lozer and the chachomim? Ech lefarish hamilah elah b'mishnah. How are we to explain the word elah when the man divorced his wife and said that you're mutaris to everyone, Ella Laploni? What does Ella mean? Does it mean chutz, or does it mean al menas? Of course, this was an issue that we discussed in our previous shiur. And what we're going to do now is apply that discussion, chutz versus al menas. Chutz meaning you're mutaris to everyone except for so-and-so. Or if it was said, if we understand the word Ella to mean al menas, that the husband is saying you're Muteris, you're now allowed, as a result of the divorce, to marry anyone, on condition that you don't marry so-and-so. We now turn to the Gemara. Omar Mar. Nene Rabbi Tarfon v'Omar. Rabbi Tarfon mentioned his objection to Rabbi Lozer by saying, Haresh al-Chazu v'niseis lo'achiv shilzeh shenesra alav. Imagine the woman being divorced when and married the brother of the one to whom she had been forbidden. Umeis b'lobonim, we used the example before of Mr. X is the man to whom she had been forbidden. Mr. Y, his brother, she married Mr. Y. Y dies leaving no children. But there is Yibum. Can she marry Mr. X? No. And the result of that is, lo nimsa ze oikir dover min hator, would this not then, this kind of get result in the uprooting of something in the Torah? So translated, it means nimtzo zeh oker. It turns out that this husband who's divorcing her is uprooting something from the Torah. The Gemara asks, how can Rabbi Tarfon say that? Okir? Ihu Okar? Did the husband uproot something from the Torah? He divorced his wife with a little restraining clause in it. The term Okir that Rabbi Tarfon says sounds like that he is proactively uprooting something in the Torah. This husband is divorcing her. He's not obligated to do Yibum. Elo, rather, to understand, Rabbi Tarfon would say, Masne lakor dovor min haTorah. He is making a condition to uproot something from the Torah. The Gemara asks, Masne, how can you say that's Rabbi Tarfon's intention? Mi kaomar lo? Did he say that to her? And to explain further, Lo sagi lo dolo minsiv ale la achva du gavra. Did she have to, paraphrasing the Gemara, the Gemara is saying, did she have to marry specifically the brother of that man to whom she had been forbidden? This husband wasn't setting up a condition for the uprooting of something from the Torah. As we just said, did she have to go and marry the brother of that man to whom she had been forbidden? Hello? Well, what Rabbi Tarfon means to say is that the divorce with the exclusion clause in it is goreim la'akor dovor min haTorah. He is causing, through this kind of divorce, for the mitzvah of Yibum to be uprooted from the Torah. The Gemara asks on this, is that really what Rabbi Tarfon was saying? Goreim. Elo me'ato. Well, if goreim is a problem, if that's like something you're going to say is forbidden to do, well, then a man would not be allowed to marry his niece. If Reuven and Shimon are brothers, and Shimon has a daughter, can Reuven marry the daughter of Shimon? Yes. But if you're going to say goreim lak or dover min haTorah is a problem, how could we allow Reuven to marry his brother's daughter? Imagine Reuven dies leaving no children. Well, then you won't be out. You won't. When Shimon, the surviving brother, is confronted with his own daughter for Yibum, he's not allowed to do Yibum. So using this, let's say, logic or this explanation for Rabbi Tarfon would result in something that's simply incorrect. So Elo Me'ato. If this is a consideration, bas ochiv lo iso, a person should not be allowed to marry his niece, shema yomuz b'lo bonim, because he might die without leaving children, and the daughter, his wife, the widow, will be falling the yibum to her father, v'nimtza goreim lakor divam haTorah, and then you have the uprooting of the mitzvah of Yibum. And yet, we don't say that. We don't consider that as a problem. A man is allowed to marry his niece, even though that potential uprooting of Yibum exists. So you see, Hainu Pircha, what Rabbi Tarfon said, introducing this consideration of Oikir Dovim in haTorah, is not a legitimate objection. And as we said before, now the Gemara wants to understand, how did Rabbi Tarfon understand expression in the Mishnah, Rabbi Lozer's term, Hareat Mutaris L'Chodom Elo L'Ploni? What does Elo L'Ploni mean? Uvemai. As we said, how did Rabbi Tarfon set up or understand the machlokas between Reb Lozer and the Rabbonan? In lema b'chutz. Namely, the husband said to her, you are divorced from me, and thereby allowed to marry anyone except for so-and-so. Would Rabbi Tarfon have reacted to a statement of Reb Lozer like that, i.e. that he's machshir. Rabbi Elazar machshir such a get and object to it on the grounds that there would be the cancellation of Yibum. That's not true. Mishra Shara Rabbi Elazar allows Yibum in a case like that. Tisanya, Moda Rabbi Elazar concedes, B'megarishis ishto v'omar law. A man divorces his wife and he says to her, "Arei amuteres l'cholonim chutz miploni. You can marry anyone except for so-and-so. V'holcho v'nises li'echod min ashuk." And she went and married some outsider, a member of the general public. V'nis'ar melo u'nisgarsha. And then she became a widow or divorced from that man. She'muteres lozeh Shinas Ralov. By having married the outsider, that wiped the slate clean. The original stated prohibition or restriction of Chutz L'Ploni no longer has any relevance. Her marriage to the outsider, as we said, wiped the slate clean. So that when she then goes and marries even the one she was directly prohibited to marry, that's okay now. So there's no undoing of mitzvahs yibum in the case that the original restriction was stated in terms of chutz. As we said, when she goes and marries someone she's allowed to marry, all the original marriage restrictions that existed were wiped clean. So it couldn't have been that Rabbi Elazar had said chutz in order for Rabbi Tarfon to raise his objection. If we look in Rashi, we have a double star in the Rashi to help you find it a little more easily. For a couple lines down, e b'chutz mishra shori lo Rabbi Elazar l'siyabim lo me'achar sheniseis li'acher. Once the woman, after her divorce with the restraining clause in it, goes and marries an outsider, someone else, she is allowed to eventually then do yibum with the one to whom she had been prohibited, because she's completely detached from the original marriage and any restrictive clauses that there may have been. As you can see in the source we just read, and by the way, you notice that's why we dashed underline the word chutz and the word muteres. Therefore, how did Rabbi Tarfon understand Rabbi Eliezer when he said that a get is kosher when even though he said Ela Laploni? Because that Ela Laploni meant Almenas Shalotinosi Laploni. Ela Ba'almenas, and the term Almenas, that's a stated condition, a stipulation. And being that's what it is, even if she marries an outsider and he dies, if she were to marry the one to whom she had been prohibited retroactively, then no divorce had ever taken place. And as Rashi says, Ela Ba'almanas Muki Law, Rabbi Tarfon sets up the case of Rabbi Elazar in the Mishnah, where he said Almanas, on condition that you're divorced and allowed to marry anyone, on condition that you don't marry so and so. So as Rashi says, Ela Ba'almanas Muki Law, Dekevon de Tno, who, since it's a stipulation, V'loikayim, and it has not been fulfilled, Nimtza get botel amafre. The result is that the divorce would be undone retroactively. V'kaimo b'isur eishas ish, and she regains her status of being a married woman, and that would result in the bittul of mitzvahs yibum. We turn back to the Gemara, and you can see at this line we have number two in a house, and this is the second of the four opinions. Nene Rabbi Yossi Aglili Vyomar Rabbi Elazar simply objected to Rabbi Elazar based on the following. Heichon motzinu asu lozeh, mutu lozeh? Where do you find a situation that she's prohibited to this one and allowed to this one? Rather, as far as Rabbi Yossi Glili is concerned, asur, asur lakol, mutur, mutur lakol. If someone is prohibited, she's prohibited to everyone. If she's allowed, she's allowed to everybody. The Gemara asks, velo, is that really so? Vehare, truma vekotchim. Truma is the tithe one separates from his produce and gives it to Kehanim. Only Kehanim are allowed to eat that. Other people are not allowed to eat it. Kotchim, sacrificial meat. Only certain people are allowed to eat it. If it's kotchim, so only Kehanim are allowed to eat it. Yisraelim are not allowed to eat it. Vare truma vekotchim, shasur lozeh muteris lozeh. You find this very model by other things. So why was Rabbi Yossi Aglili objecting to Rabbi Elazar on that basis? I think more answers be isur isha kormin. When you're dealing with women, prohibition or permission, you don't find a split. I think more asks, that's not true. Vare arayas, the whole realm of prohibited relations. For example, a man has a daughter or a man has a sister, so he is prohibited to them, and those women are mutaros to everyone else. So why would Rabbi Yossi Aglili object to Rabbi Eliezer based on asur lozeh mutar lozeh? The Gemara says beishus kamrinon. Well, when you're dealing with women that have a married status, not the prohibition of a man to his daughter or to his sister. That's arayas. That's standard prohibited relations. But when you're dealing with the realm of ishus, marriage, where a woman becomes married, becomes prohibited through the marital bond, you don't find a split. The Gemara asks, well, that's not true. Fahare ishus ish. A married woman, she's muteris to her husband, and she is forbidden to everyone else. Hainu pircha. This is the undoing of Rabbi Yossi Haglili's objection. Uvemai, how did Rabbi Yossi Haglili set up the machlokes Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim? I lema be'almanas, where a man divorced his wife and said, you're prohibited, you're allowed to marry anyone except for, or on condition that you don't marry so-and-so. However, by saying that, her prohibition to so-and-so is only with regard to marriage. Hare hutra etzlo beznus. She wouldn't be violating, the conditions of her divorce if she had harlotrous relationship with that fellow, so that if Rabbi Elazar originally had spoken in terms of being muteris to everyone on condition that you don't marry so-and-so, that wouldn't have given rise to Rabbi Yossi Aglili saying, osur lezeh mutur lezeh. She's not osur to anybody. She's not osur even to the man who was specified. The prohibition to that individual was only on condition that she doesn't marry him. But if she would engage in, let's say, an act of intimacy outside the realm of marriage, that wouldn't be considered prohibited. Certainly not in terms of the divorce conditions. Therefore, we have to conclude Ela Bechutz, where the husband said you can marry anybody except for so and so. By saying chutz miploni, you're in effect prohibiting her to have any intimacy, whether it's in the context of marriage or in the context of a simple act of intimacy. There is a Rashi that you see second line from the bottom, where we, in thinking that maybe Rabbi Yossi understood Rabbi Lozer in terms of almanas, we said that could not be, because then Rabbi Yossi would not have said muteres lozev asura lozev, because she's not asura to that individual business. Harei hutretzol business. Rashi says the almanas shelo tinosihu to call our law. All the husband had said, on you're divorced on condition that you don't marry so and so. The karina ba muteres lakol, and as a result of that, we can still say she's muteris to that individual as long as she doesn't marry him. We can turn back to the Gemara. Nene Rabbi Akiva, the Omar. Notice in our markings we're calling this three, Roman numeral number one, because within Rabbi Akiva we had two objections. The Gemara will quote the second statement of Rabbi Akiva, the Dover Acher, three lines from the bottom. By the way, if you need to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We continue in the Gemara. Nene Rabbi Akiva v'yoma harei shahol chazu v'nisei slecho min ashuk. Imagine the woman that was divorced with the restraining clause in it. She went and married some outsider, man from the public. And she had children with him. And she became widowed from him or divorced. And then she went and married that very person that the original husband had forbidden her. Well, if she does that, would that not undo the original divorce? And if her original divorce is undone, then she was a married woman when she married the Echad Min Ashuk, the fellow from the public. If she was still considered married at that time, then the children she had with the second fellow are Mamzerim. And as Rabbi Akiva said, it can't be that the Torah would sanction a get that would lead to Mamzerus. The Gemara asks, is that a legitimate objection? Any get given with a stipulation in it, a woman should not be allowed to marry. If a woman is divorced with some type of stipulation in the divorce, how in the world can we allow her to marry anybody when she might not fulfill the conditions? And then her original divorce would be void retroactively. And yet we know that divorces are, one can issue divorces with stipulations in them. Hainu pircha. So this shows that Rabbi Akiva's objection to Rabbi Lozer could not have been, it's not a legitimate objection. Just to repeat that point, because if you were to validate Rabbi Akiva's objection, you're thereby prohibiting all divorcees who received their divorce with stipulations in them to remarry. And we know that's not true. Uvemai, how did Rabbi Akiva understand the machlokas Rabbi Elazar and the Chachomim? Ilema bachutz, if the original divorce was you can marry anyone except for so-and-so, Mishra Shora, Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar allows her, when she married the outsider, to then go and when she becomes free from that marriage, either through widowhood or divorce, she can marry the prohibited man. So there's no retroactive undoing of the get. We have the Brisa in brackets to make the reading a little easier. Skip for a moment the bracketed section. Elo be'almanas. In order for Rabbi Akiva to have issued his objection to begin with, it must be that Rabbi Lozer had, and the Chachamim were arguing a case where he said almanas on condition that you don't marry so and so, and that the stipulation remains binding even when she would have married an outsider. In the brackets, we have the same source that we read before, so let's read it again. Now the brackets. We mentioned that if the original divorce had been stated with its restrictive clause as Bahutz, Chutz Miploni, her marriage to the outsider would have then allowed her to marry that prohibited individual afterwards. Desanya, reading in the brackets, Moida Rabbi Elazar b'megarshes ishtoi v'yomer la re'at muteres l'chol adam chutz miploni. Rabbi Elazar concedes that a man who divorced his wife, saying you can now marry anyone except for so and so, v'olchav aniseis li'achav ben ashuk, and then she went and married someone from the general public, v'nisam l'nisgarsh, she became a widow from him or divorced. Shemuteris lozesh and esra lov. She is allowed to marry the one to whom she had originally been prohibited. So that would never have resulted in what Rabbi Kiva was worried about, namely a retroactive dissolving of her divorce and children that are mamzerim. Elo be'almanas. This particular marking, by the way, that we have with the house marking around Almanas, is featured on the side under the Mivne heading Simun Zeh the Tzurach Hemshech HaGemora Kedei La'akov Achar Shitas Rabbi Akiva. We'll need this marking in order to keep track of Rabbi Akiva's opinion as we go on in the Gemara. As you can see, we have a Roman numeral number 2, the second approach presented above in the name of Rabbi Akiva. Dovar Acher. Why would Rabbi Akiva object to the opinion of Rebbe Elazar, who was machshir get, where it said Hareat Muteras L'chol Adam Elo L'ploni? Hare Shoyazeh Shenesra Olav Kohen Umeis Hamagarish. Imagine the man to whom she had been restricted was a Kohen, and the man who divorced her then died. Lo Nimseis Amona Etzlo Ugrusha Eitzel Kol Adam. Would we not describe the relationship of the woman to that prohibited Kohen as an Amona? She was never divorced with regard to him directly. With regard to the general population, she is divorced. The Kal Vachomer, Uma Grusha Shikala Asura Mishum Gerushin Shiba. The prohibition of Gerushin, of Grusha to a Kohen, which is a low level prohibition, yet it's manifest upon her because she had been considered a divorcee vis a vis the rest of the public. Eshish Chamura Lo Kol Shekein. Before the husband died, she had been considered, vis-a-vis the Kohen, still married to the original man. That's called an Eishes Ish. Would it not be so then that that status would then be reflected upon the general public as well? And the result is that she would be prohibited to everybody before the death of the husband. So there was no get to begin with. So how can Rebbe Elazar say that such a get is a kosher get, enabling her to marry other people? But while that man was still alive, while the Megarish was still alive, her Eishes Ish status that she had vis-a-vis the Kohen reflected upon itself upon the rest of the public. Uvemai, how does Rabbi Akiva set up the Machlokis, Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim, vis-a-vis the word Ela? Ilema be'almenas. That you are allowed to marry anyone on condition that you don't marry so-and-so. Hare, the Gemara continues at the top of Amud Beis. Hare, grusha etzlo biznus. If the whole restriction was simply on condition that you don't marry so-and-so, what about a non-marriage act of intimacy with regard to that Kohen? When he divorced her, if he had said almanas, that you don't marry the Kohen, if she would, let's say, have had intimacy outside the context of marriage with that Kohen, would she have been considered an Eishes Ish? No. She would have been considered divorced. So there is no, if that were the case then, it was a divorce with an almanas stipulation in it, then there was no Ashes Ish status vis-a-vis the Kohen. So that then the Kal V'chomer that we mentioned before wouldn't get off the ground. It wouldn't get started. Elo B'chutz. Rather, we have to say that the original divorce was stated in chutz terms, so that she was totally prohibited to the Kohen, whether it be through marriage or even as an act of harlotry. And as a result of that, she does have an Ashes Ish status, and that status then could have been reflected upon the public, showing us that the get, as far as Rabbi Akiva is concerned, was no get. Now you notice we have the inverted house marking. Compare that to the previous house marking. In the previous house marking, we said that Rabbi Akiva set up the machlokis, Rabbi Elazar and the Chachomim, in almanas terms. Here, you see that he sets it up, that machlokis, in chutz terms. The Gemara asks, the Rabbi Akiva, I chutz svira lei, loisiv chutz. If Rabbi Akiva holds that the original machlokis between Rabbi Elazar and Chachomim was in chutz terms, that you're muteris to everyone, chutz abon, except for so-and-so. So then, let him have raised Roman numeral number 2 as the objection. That's loisiv chutz, means raise the objection, where chutz would have been the basis, and where did we see that? In Roman numeral number 2. The almanas virulei, and if Rabbi Akiva holds that Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim were arguing in terms of almanas, loisiv almanas, then Roman numeral number 1 should have been his objection. The Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva shmi'alei. Rabbi Akiva had heard regarding Rabbi Elazar de'iko de'omar chutz v'iko de'omar almanas. Some said that he had stated his position in the chutz model, and some say that he had stated his position against the chachomim in an almanas model. Man de'omar chutz, whoever set up their machlokes in terms of chutz, hi, Pircha. So the Dovar Acher, the Roman numeral number 2, would be that was Rabbi Kiv's objection to Rabbi Elazar. Umadam Rabbi Almanas, hi, Pircha. And whoever had as their opinion that the Machlokas was in terms of Almanas, so Roman numeral number 1 is the Pircha, is my undoing, my objection to his Shita. The Gemara asks, regarding Roman numeral number 2 of Rabbi Akiva. By the way, did you notice any bow tie for the Roman numeral number 2 approach of Rabbi Akiva? In terms of the markings, you didn't notice any bow tie following the Roman numeral number 2. It's that point that the Gemara is asking on right now. Omai Pircha, regarding the second approach of Rabbi Akiva, what is weak with that approach? If you try to say, well, Isur Kahuna Shaini, Kal V'chomer was based on the Grusha status that she had vis-a-vis the public is reflected upon the Kohen. Kal V'chomer, the Ashes Ish status that she had vis-a-vis the Kohen could be reflected upon the public. So you might say, you can't make a Kal V'chomer like that, because terming Grusha as an Isur Kala, some type of low-level status, is not accurate, because Isur Grusha is an Isur that pertains to Kohanim. And Kohanim have mitzvahs that the rest of the public doesn't have. So that it's a type of, say, apples and oranges, or it's simply an unbalanced or an inaccurate Kal V'chomer. Well, is that really an objection? Ha, Rebbe Elazar Nami, Me'isur kahuna komaisi lei. Rabbi Elazar's own shita of a woman who's divorced with a restrictive clause in it, in the divorce, as being a kosher divorce, is derived on pei beis omid beis from a pasuk, isha grusha me'isha. That pasuk was a kohen pasuk, and yet Rabbi Elazar used that to show a law that applies to everybody. So as far as Rabbi Elazar is concerned, Isur Kuna is not shiny. The laws, the restrictions that apply to Kohanim are different. No, it's actually a precedent setter. So if that be the case, where's the pircha? Where's the undoing of Rabbi Akiva's objection? The Gemara responds that in fact we will say Isur Kuna shiny, and as far as Rabbi Elazar is concerned, Rava, who was the one who introduced all of these shitas and said that kulu islu pircha, they all have an undoing, because Rava k'Rabbi Yanai mishum zokin echad komasni. In presenting the basis of Rebbe Elazar back on the Pei Beis Omid Beis, Rebbe Elazar was not based on the Kohen Pasuk Isha Grusham Isha, but rather on the Pasuk that was cited, V'hoysel li'isha cher. The Pasuk that says that when a man divorces his wife, he sends her out and she goes and marries another man. And Rebbe Elazar took that to mean, even if she's allowed to marry one other man, that's considered a divorce. Therefore, if that's the basis of Rebbe Elazar, and we, says Rava, can object to Rabbi Akiva by saying that your Kavachomer was based on describing Isur Grusha as an Isur Kal, we will say back to you that Isur Kahuna Shiny, the prohibition of Grusha to that coin is different. And therefore, you can't extrapolate from that through a Kal Vachomer to indicate that she should therefore certainly be prohibited to everybody else based on her being an Ish as Ish. We again now quote from the source, the big source on Omer Aleph. At the end of the source, it said, Omer Lem Rabbi Yeshua, Ein Meshivin Esari Lachar Misa. Rabbi Yeshua objected to the, we'll call the four diamonds that we saw, in saying that, well, you now that Rebbe Elazar died, you're coming and raising your objections. We don't respond to the lion after he's dead. Lameimra, are you suggesting Rebbe Yeshua kafasei sviro lei that Rebbe Yeshua agrees with Rebbe Elazar? For iunami mifrach kaporech, we will see later. Rebbe Yeshua also objected to Rebbe Elazar's opinion. So what's Rabbi Yeshua speaking up now, seemingly in defense of Rabbi Elazar? Hachi karma lahu. Thusly, Rabbi Yeshua is saying to the others, L'didi nami isli pircha. I also have an objection. Mihu, bein l'didi, bein l'didchu, ein meshivin asari lachar misa. Whether it be myself or you, it's not proper to object, to raise your objections to the lion, to Rabbi Elazar, after he has died. Oh, my pircha de Rabbi Yeshua, what was Rabbi Yeshua's objection? Desanya, Omer Rabbi Yeshua, Makish Kaidme Havaya Shnia, Lekaidme Havaya Rishona. The Pasuk itself says, when a man divorces his wife, it says, Veshucha mi beso, Veyotza, Veholcha, Vehoysel ish acher. We compare her, we'll say her status prior to her first marriage to her status prior to her second marriage. In looking at the psukim in their entirety, you turn to Dvorim, Perek Chof Dalid, psukim Aleph and Beis. And you see in Pasuk Aleph it says, Ki Yikach Ish Isha Ubala. Tikach is it refers to a man's marrying a woman. A woman who prior to this was not married. And then it goes on to say, and if it comes to be that he doesn't desire her anymore, and he writes a divorce and sends her forth from his house. Pasuk Beis says, and then she leaves his house and then goes and marries another man. So we have this woman in her state before she married the first man, and her state before she marries the second man, and they are to be compared. As the Gemara just said, as Rabbi Yeshua just said, we compare the Havaya, the Koidme Havaya Shnia. The word Havaya is from the word in the Torah Vahoysa, the verb form to be, but in this case to be married. So we compare her status before her marriage to the second one to her status before her marriage to the first one. Ma koidme, we continue reading in the Gemara, ma koidme havaya rishona delo agido beinishachrina. Just like before her first marriage, she wasn't attached to anyone else. Af koidme havaya shnia, so too before her second marriage, delo agido beinishachrina, she's not attached to anybody else. And in looking at Reb Elazar's opinion, where a marriage with a restriction clause is okay, well, her status before her second marriage, she's still attached to the first husband because of the restriction clause vis-a-vis the second man, which was not the case before her original marriage. Gufo. At this point, we quote from the Tanaic source that we had quoted a couple times already back on Omid Aleph. We have an arrow enabling you to see where on Omid Aleph this source had originally appeared. Moida Rabbi Elazar b'Megarish Ishto v'Amar La'aret Muteres Chodom Chutz Miploni. Rabbi Elazar concedes that a man who divorced his wife, saying you can now marry anyone except for so and so, and then she married someone from the general public, and then she became a widow from that man or divorced from that man, she is muteris now to go and marry the individual that she originally had been prohibited to. In other words, her marriage to the Echad Min Ashuk, to the man from the general public, wiped the slate clean. Any restrictions, any marital attachment that she had with the original husband through her marriage to the Echad Min Ashuk undoes, obliterates any bonds or any restrictions that may have existed because of the first marriage/divorce. Heishiv Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar tshuva ledivrei Rabbi Elazar. Heichon motzinu shezeh oser vezeh matir. Let's take a look at the Rashi. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, you can see, is objecting to Rabbi Elazar's heter. Rashi says shezeh oser vezeh matir. Nisuei baila harishon osrua alzeh. The marriage to the first husband and his subsequent divorce prohibited her to the specified individual. V'nisuei sheni yatiru lo, and her marriage to the second husband, to the Echad Min Ashuk, would then allow her to that specified individual. So this phenomenon is the source of Rabbi Shimon Rosa's objection to Rabbi Elazar. On the side of the Gemara, we have a Mivne, a structural note. You'll notice a triangle. Several of them appear in the Gemara. Sidra Shukushios Aldivrei Rabbi Shimon Elazar. A series of questions on Rabbi Shimon Elazar. In other words, we're questioning the questioner. The Gemara asks, Velo? This idea of Ze Oser Ve Zeh Matir, that's not a strange idea. V'harei Yevoma. In the case of Yibum, the Baal Oser v'yavam matir. The husband, when she is married to him, so she is prohibited to his brother. When the husband dies, she is the yavam comes along and enables that yibum marriage to take place. So that you have the husband prohibiting and the yavam allowing, making it mutter. The Gemara says that that description is not accurate. Hasam yavam hu ka'osar la. There, it's the yavam that was prohibiting. The e mibal ha sharia v'kaima. Let's go over this last case, this last, we'll say, objection. The Gemara asked, v'harei yavama debal oser v'yavam matir. Whereas Reb Shimon Melozer said you can't have one osering, one prohibiting, and the other being matir, well, is it not so that in the case of a marriage, the husband prohibits, and the yavam, he, through the act of chalitza, through the act of the shoe removal, when the husband dies leaving no children, the surviving brother participates in a shoe removal ceremony with the sister-in-law, and that enables her to marry anyone she wants. So the Gemara says that's not a good example. Why? Hasam yavam hu ka'asar la. In that case, it's really the yavam that's responsible for her being prohibited. In other words, when the husband died, as the Gemara says, the imi baal ha sharia v'kaima. From the husband's standpoint, when he dies, she's actually mutter. She's an almona. She's what's restricting her from marrying anyone she wants at that point? It's the yavam himself. So it's really the same person that's creating the isu, that's creating the prohibition, i.e. the yavam, who, through the shoe removal ceremony, enables the heter, the permission to take place. So the case of Yibum then would not be an objection to what Rav Shimon ben Elazar said. However, let's try this. Hare Nidorim. Denoder Oser v'chochamatir. In the case of a vow, a person takes a vow restricting himself from something. The sage that's approached to rescind the vow then enables the individual to partake of that which had been prohibited. So here you have a case of ze oser v'ze matir. So why did Shimon ben Elazar find that to be objectionable? The Gemara answers, ha omer Rabbi Yochanan ein chocham matir klum ela b'charata. Rabbi Yochanan says that when the sage is sought out for vow rescission, it's not really he that is undoing the vow. It's the original person that made the vow who expresses his regret over having made the vow that leads to the absolution. So that the result of that is that there really was never a vow in the first place. Rashi explains this in Dibur Masel Becharota. You'll notice the Rashi will learn it together a number of lines down from here. The sage literally opens up the case, opens up the vow by questions and saying, "Sheilu yoda mitchilo shekein osilios loyo noder." Had the vower known that in the future these unacceptable circumstances would arise, so he never would have vowed. Nimso shemitchiloso, eino neder. It turns out that there was never a vow in the first place. So it's not accurate to say that the vower prohibits and the chocham is matir. The chocham simply creates through his involvement an investigation which results in the vow never having been there in the first place. So it's the way it appears to me, then it's the one that made the vow is in effect rescinding the vow, uprooting it from its very basis. Hare, the Gemara asks, but still, haforas habal, In the case of a husband who annuls his wife's vows, the isha noderes, the wife made a vow, ubal mefer, and the husband absolves it. So you have precedent for saying ze oser veze matir. So why did Reb Shimon ben Elozer state that as an objection to Reb Elozer? The Gemara says, Hosam, in the case of a wife taking a vow, kidera pinchos mishmei derava. We have to understand her behavior in light of Rav Pinchas' observation. The Yomar Rav Pinchas Mishmei de Rova Kohan Oderes Al Das Baila Hino Deres. A woman who vows she is doing so on condition that her husband accepts it. So that it's not accurate to say that the woman created an Isur, that she created a prohibition. Because at the point that the husband objects, it really shows us that the wife never intended for her vow to be binding. Again, we have a quote from Omid Aleph. We have a little star to the left-hand side of the Gemara text, which enables you to see where this is a quote from back on Pei Gimel Omid Aleph. Nene Rabbi Elozer ben Azar v'Omar Krisus. The word Krisus in the Torah, where it says Dover, the Kosov lo sefer krisus, and Reb Elozer ben Azariah says, Dover ha-koreis beino leveino, a divorce document, the act of divorce is something that cuts apart, creates a total break between the husband and the wife. Ha lamadato she'en ze krisus. The result of that is that a get with an exception or a withholding clause in it, like we have been discussing all along today's shiur, hareat muter sechorim chutz miploni. So this halamadato she'ein ze krisus, that shows us that it's not a divorce, it's not a total break. She's still bound to the original husband vis-a-vis the person that he specified as being prohibited. V'rabbonon, high krisus, my abdile. The reference here to Rabbonon are all the others, we'll call the other diamonds that we had noted in the source that didn't darshan like Reb Elozer ben Azari. What do they derive from the word krisus? Mibaya lehu lichedetanya. They need krisus for the following teaching. A man says to his wife, Hareze gitech amanas shalotish diayin, amanas shalotelchi lebeis avich. Now, if he stipulates that and says, Li'olam, this is your divorce on condition that you never drink wine, that you never go to your father's house. Ein ze krisus. That does not constitute a divorce. However, if he says, Shloshim Yom, do not, this is your divorce on condition that you don't drink wine for 30 days, so Hareze Krisus, that does represent a divorce. And the point that we have to emphasize is that this idea of a divorce which has a stipulation that is permanent, that as long as the woman lives, she cannot drink the wine, or otherwise the divorce will be undone, that's a function of The objection to such a get, the disqualification of such a get is based on the word krisus. In other words, the divorce has to be an action which will result at some point the woman not having any connection or any association with the husband that's divorcing her. So that if the stipulation is le'olam, permanently restricted in drinking wine, stipulated that the get will not be get if she drinks wine for the rest of her life, so we see she's bound to her husband in that sense for the rest of her life. There's no point at which we see a total break. And that is all derived from the Rabbonin's use of the word krisus. Rashi says, "Ein ze krisus she'ein mafridon elo hamoves da'ad yoy moisek shurabo." The only point at which they get separated in a case where the stipulation is stayed lolam is the death, and until her death, she's still bound to him. The Gemara asks now, what about Rebbe Lazar ben Azariah? Where does he learn this point from? That a stipulation that's stated as le'olam, in le'olam terms, is not a good get. So he says, Mikores Krisus Nafka. Instead of the Torah writing V'kosav lo Sefer Kores, the Torah chose to expand the word Sefer Krisus. From that change in the word, Rebbe Lozer ben Azariah will derive this teaching. The Idach, the other Rabbonon, Kores Krisus lo Darshi. They don't see anything unique in the change in the word. So it's the basic word, krisus, is what leads them to the teaching in the source. As far as Dovra HaKores Beino Leveino, representing a source for invalidating a get with a restriction clause in it, they don't see it. They don't see that from the word krisus. Omar Rava. Before we continue, we have a mivneh, a structural note. On the side, a diamond is featured. These are shnei shlavim, two stages. Kedei la'azbir dinoi shel Rava b'inyan atoila haget b'chaye ploni v'chulei. Regarding a get that is made dependent on the life of so-and-so. That will become clearer as we go through the Gemara. Omar Rava, Hareze Giteich Amanas Shelo Tishti Yayin. This is your divorce on condition that you don't drink wine. Kol Yamei Chayai, as long as I am alive. Well, Einze Krisus, that does not constitute a divorce. And as we said before, the reason for that not being a divorce is because she remains bound to him all of his life. The only thing that separates them is death, and that is not that's not a divorce. However, if the stipulation is kol yemei chaye ploni, this is your divorce as long as you don't drink wine, as long as so and so is alive, hare ze krisus. That's an acceptable divorce. The Gemara asks, my shno chaye ploni, what is different about the case of Chaye Ploni that we say that's an effective get, the Dilma Moyes Umakaimo Le Litnoe, so and so might die, and upon his death, so then we're able to say that the condition has been fulfilled. Meaning that at the point that so and so dies, she now is released from the restriction of drinking wine, and she can drink wine and not be in violation of the original conditions. Well, chaye didei nami, which you just said, chaye didei means the husband's life himself, his own life. Why not say dilma moyes umekaimo le letnoi, that he might die, the husband might die, and at that point she will be free to drinking wine, and that would be a fulfillment of the conditions. Ela ema, rather, kol yemei chayichi, if the get is given, is stipulated that you are divorced as long as you don't drink wine all of your life, the woman's life, ein ze krisus. That is not a divorce, because the only thing that breaks the bond would be her own death, not her divorce. However, kol yemei chayai o chayei ploni, hare ze krisus. If the stipulation was, this is your get on condition that you don't drink wine all of my life or so-and-so's life, that is an effective divorce, because you can have the woman remaining alive and the condition fulfilled without having to come on to her own death. Vomine Rova Mirav Nachman. Hayom I at Ishti Ulamochar at Ishti. Mahu. If a man gives a divorce to his wife and he says, or I should say more accurately, he says to her, today you're my wife, and tomorrow, through this divorce, you are not my wife. Let me say this, let's restate this in more accurate terms. Just simply to reverse what we said is, rather, Hayom Yat Ishti, today you are not my wife through this divorce, but tomorrow you will be my wife. In effect, he's saying you're divorced for a day. Now this question can be raised, Tiboy L'Reb Elazar, Tiboy L'Rabbanan. We can raise this question within Reb Elazar. Reb Elazar, if you recall, he's been the subject of most of today's shiur, is the one that says a divorce with a restriction clause in it is a kosher divorce. So here you have a divorce with a restriction of the divorce is for one day. Tomorrow, it's not a divorce. Likewise, this question can be raised within the opinion of the Rabbanan that rendered invalid a get with a restriction clause. When he says, Hareat Muter Sechadam Chutz Miploni. Now the Gemara elaborates. Tiboy L'Rebbe Elazar, Ad Kan Lo Komer Reb Elazar Hosam, up till now, Reb Elazar does not validate Elo De Leman De Koshori Koshori La'Oilam. Aval Hocha Lo. In the case of Reb Elazar said the get is kosher, it's because the one unto whom she was allowed, let's say she was made allowed to the general public, she was made allowed to them forever. There was in fact one individual that was specified as being prohibited, but besides him, the rest of the people to whom she was made permitted through the divorce, she was permitted to them without any restriction. Aval hachalo. But here in this case, the woman is made permitted, so to speak, for today, but not made permitted la'olam, only for one day. So it doesn't parallel the case that Reb Elazar had sanctioned. So maybe here Reb Elazar would object. Oy dilma lo shna, or maybe that's not a point, that's not enough of a difference for Reb Elazar to render this invalid. In other words, just like Reb Elazar says, a get with a restrictive clause in it is kosher, so too over here. Tiboy l'Rabbanan, ad kan lo kamer Rabbanan hasam. Up till now, the Rabbanan invalidated the get elo delo posko minei legamri, because there wasn't at any point a complete break. As soon as he divorced her, she was still bound to him vis-a-vis the specified prohibited individual. Aval hacha, kevan de paska, paska. But over here, in this case, when he divorces her, he says, you're divorced from me today. She is separated from him, she is removed from him, vis-a-vis everybody. Rashi says at the bottom line, paska, lechol adam le'oilam. She's prohibited, she's separated from vis-a-vis everybody permanently. Vishuv eino ishto ad she yavzer v'yikachena hilkoch ein tanai zeklum. Once he releases her today, that's it. She's released permanently unless he then remarries her by offering her kiddushin, by offering her money or money equivalent in a new marriage. After the question was raised, this was a question that Rova had asked of Rav Nachman. He then answered it. Hoder Pashta, he then answered it. And we continue at the top of Daf Pei Dalet. Mistabra, it's most likely Bein L'Rabbi Lezer, Bein L'Rabbanon, Kevon de Poska, Poska. Whether according to Rav Lezer or according to the Rabbanon, once the break is made today, it sets in and that's it. And there's no restriction vis-a-vis the woman's ability to marry anyone she wants. If the original husband wants to take her back, she'll have to offer her a new marriage. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.